is it?
Good morning to you.
Who?
How can I help you, dear?
Who is it?
Hey, I've got a beep in my living room every 42 seconds.
It's Lou Manfredini time.
I don't know where the leak is coming from.
What scary stuff is going on around your house this weekend? Now's the time to ask Lou.
Who?
Right here on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WVN.
What you can't see right now is that Lindsay's behind the screen, and Domati's doing it too. Domati's got his, like, he's doing this. He's looking like an Egyptian. Lindsay's doing the Michael Jackson move. Hi, happy Halloween, everybody. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Domati, what are you going to dress up as?
Michael Jackson.
Oh, all right. Sam, what about you?
Ooh, we'll see.
Oh, yeah,
we'll
to be determined.
Yeah, TBD.
You know, I have a big speaker that I bought in, during Halloween. I just have a loop of Halloween songs playing that is out front as I'm dressed like the bear. And Thriller goes, it's Thriller, it's Monster Mash, Werewolves of London, and there's a fourth one. I can't think of what the fourth Halloween. What's the fourth Halloween song that's everyone? Monster Mash, Thriller, Werewolves of London. And there's another Halloween song that runs. It's like a little Halloween playlist that I have.
No Fresh Prince, Nightmare on My Street.
Oh.
No?
Purple there's People Eater.
Got that one.
Purple People Eater. Oh, I should get that one. That's good.
Oh, I've got, I could go on. For
what are you going to, right, you're crazy about
I
Halloween.
I always feel like somebody's, that's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one? Who's that? Who's that by?
Ooh, I don't know.
Michael Jackson?
No.
No.
I only know the remix by, who was it? I think. Starface or somebody.
Rockwell.
Rapper sampled that.
Rockwell.
You know what album we have to get? And this is a completely off the subject. Hi, everybody. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Megan was cutting my hair the other day, and evidently Johnny Cash, his last album, was a bunch of covers of other people's songs.
Ooh, like and Nine Inch Nails he does.
He did an In Excess song.
Oh,
and it's so good.
That's the album you're talking about. You told me
Johnny Cash does this In Excess song, which is so good. So, anyway. All right, real quick. I just got back from Spain. You know, months ago, maybe more than a year ago, we did a Steve Bertrand trip to go to Spain. And we had a bunch of listeners going there. Have either anybody been to Spain? Anybody?
I haven't.
No?
It's on my bucket list.
You need to go to Spain. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you something you don't... Do you know anything about Spain? Anybody? Domati?
I only know what I've just reported about Catalonia. That's
okay,
about
that's it. Sam, you know anything about Spain?
Figaro, Figaro, Figaro.
Right? Anything, Lindsay? Let me tell you something about Spain. This is the number one thing you got to know about Spain. They love ham. They
really?
Love ham. You see ham everywhere. You go into a bar, and hanging behind the bar are the legs of the pigs, just hanging there with these little cones that are on the bottom of the leg of the ham, to catch the grease as it drips so the bartender doesn't slip and fall. That's literally ham everywhere. You drive by a restaurant, it's like it's a ham museum, okay? So much so that they love ham. When we're coming through the airport on Sunday morning, right, we left right after the shows on Saturday. My wife and I got on a plane. We flew to Madrid. And you know how you go in any airport, you go through those set of doors that, you know, once you go past these doors, you're not in the secure area, you know, that door there. So we're walking through those doors, and what is on those doors? John Hamm. John Hamm. John Hamm is all over Madrid. On every bus stop, on every sign, there is a picture of John Hamm. Now, I don't know if there's a relationship between the fact that his last name is Hamm, and they love Hamm, but they love Hamm in Spain. And John Hamm is all over Madrid. All right. You know how people say, I'm your biggest fan? Well, the people that are willing to invest and go on a trip and come on a bus with me, 47 of us, is amazing. We had a great time. So I want to thank Joe and Catherine, Kevin and Kristen, our friends Kevin and Kristen, Cynthia, Rita and Judith, Connie and Michelle, Sue and Patricia, Mary Kay and Kay, Michelle and Georgia, Julie and Richard, Suzanne and Glenn, John and Marilyn, Tom and Victoria, Joe and Barbara, William and Teresa Ann, Silvana and Joe, Robert and Ellen, Karen and Sheldon, Shelley, James and Nancy, Greg and Nancy, Gerald and Kathleen, Hugh and Alice, Frank and Sophie, Tom and Judith, and Marilyn. We had the best time. We walked all around Spain, Steve and his little trip. I'm telling you, when he puts these trips together and he tells you, hey, now we're going to this place, you need to sign up. The itinerary was great. We had a fabulous tour guide named Carlos that we all fell in love with and just loved this guy. We had this great bus driver, Pedro, who safely drove us around in this beautiful bus that was like this Mercedes bus that held 47 of us, and he drove it like it was a Volkswagen around these streets of Madrid. And here's an interesting thing. Now, this you'll find interesting, Domati, that is not about ham. And I didn't know about this. The influence in Spain by the Muslim and Arabic people is incredible. So it was filled with Muslims centuries ago. And for two centuries, the Muslims, the Jews, and the Christians all lived in harmony in Spain, right? And then when the Christian Crusades came in the early 1400s, they just drove everybody out, which is crazy. But the influence in Arabic, A, in the Spanish language, which is very apparent, and also in the architecture throughout the country of Spain, is spectacular. Mm. We went to this mosque in Cordoba, which was this giant mosque that was built. And when the Crusades came through, the Christians were first, they were tearing everything down. Anything that had any relationship to the Muslim faith or the Jewish faith, they were tearing down. But this mosque was so beautiful that they wanted to save it. And they built a cathedral inside the mosque, which was spectacular. And so it was really quite, quite interesting. And then here's the thing. There is a town.
Wait a minute. So they were worshiped together. You had a mosque, a cathedral inside of a mosque.
No, that was after they drove the Muslims out.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. But they kept the mosque and the architecture of it all. But so then there's a town called Toledo, Spain. That is this small, quaint town in the hills. And they had so many churches and houses of worship in this small little geographic area. It's where the term Holy Toledo comes from.
I love that story.
That's where it came from. Awesome. Toledo, Spain. Holy Toledo. It's not Toledo in Ohio. It's Toledo in Spain. So there's your little history lesson today about the country of Spain. I'll have more fun facts about Spain coming up a little bit later on. But they love ham, and they love John Ham. He's everywhere. It is unbelievable.
Who doesn't?
Every time you turn, there's a picture of John Hamm. It was so funny. Okay, quick break, and then we'll get to your calls.
Scene one, Apple, take one.
Buenos días. Soy Carlos Rozas desde Madrid, España, y están escuchando a Lou Manfredi en la siete.
Scene one, Apple, take two.
Manfredini, 3, 2.
A Lou Manfredi en la WGN 720.
Uno más en español.
A Lou Manfredini en la 720 WGN.
Beautiful.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
We did. We asked that was Carlos. That was Carlos and. We interviewed him. I put him on the spot as we were driving because we were on the bus for a while. We had a microphone. I was sitting in the front and I was asking him all kinds of questions. He was a lieutenant in the Spanish Air Force for 10 years. And we learned about his children, his family. It was really nice. You get to break up the time when you're on the bus. And then at some point there was actually another radio person on the radio station or on the bus. Michelle D'Amico. Michelle D'Amico, for some of you may remember, actually, Steve Bertrand and Michelle used to be street reporters years ago in radio, and she, for 10 years, was the morning news anchor with Lynn Bramer on WXRT. She was on the trip with her mother, her lovely mother, Connie, and we sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game to Carlos. He had never heard the song ever, and so the whole bus sang Take Me Out, and we had Sox fans on the bus, so we were fighting as to, who should win. But it was pretty fun. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Poor Robert's had to listen to all of that. Robert in Chicago, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yes, sir. How are you, Luke?
Good, good. How can I help you?
Okay, I have a field mice problem there in the house. You want to get rid of them and keep them out. What's the best thing to do?
All right, that's a big deal this time of year. Walk around the house. And any kind of places where you see they may be coming in, I want you to put some bait outside. Because what we're trying to do is draw them out by a food source on the outside. On the inside, I want you to use a product called Bonide Mouse Magic. It's a repellent that comes in a little sachet, or do you say sachet, that you put inside. Smells like pine, and they don't like that smell. And it's going to drive them out. They're going to see that bait, and they're going to eat it, and they're going to go off into the field and say goodbye. And then, after that, you need to close up the holes and still use the repellent on the inside. Use that every 30 days and replace the sachets every 30 days, and you'll be amazed at how well it really works. It's 7:28 in the morning. Time now to hop in the car and head to Goods Furniture in Kewaunee, Illinois. Open every day from 9 until 6.
Well, I'm getting ready to watch a video.
What?
Oh, just some scary movie.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Happy Halloween weekend, Tuesday. I'll be the bear. Domati will be Michael Jackson. Sam doesn't know. Lindsay.
Rainbow Dash from My Little Pony.
You're going to be Rainbow Dash from My Little Pony? I don't even know what that is.
Well, my daughter.
Are going to be the ponies.
Ponies too. Twilight Sparkle and Pinkie Pie. And then David's going to go as Spike, their pet dragon.
Oh, very nice. Did you make those costumes, or you can buy those costumes?
I kind of made them. I kind of did my own. You all can right. buy them, but I did a little.
I saw a really funny picture, you know, the stuff on the internet where some guy was at a Halloween party, and he had one of those T-Rex outfits, like that blow up, and he looks like a giant T-Rex, and he's in the men's room.
Right. How does that bathroom. Work?
But it's just funny, because yeah. The shot is of this guy. He's like drying his hands under the dryer, and it's this giant T-Rex with the little arms. It's pretty funny.
It reminds me when David was the, remember the box of Franzia wine?
Oh, yeah, right.
And he had his, like, I said this wrong last time, and they're like, ooh, this is going to be out of context.
Yeah,
he had, like, a little spout that came out, and you could, like, pour wine from the box.
Very
it was
nice.
Very creative.
Yeah, very creative. I like that. Let's talk to Brian on the Northwest side. Brian, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Okay, got a problem. Okay, I got a brick bungalow. Porch about 9 feet by 20 feet, surrounded by like a brick countertop. So when it rains on part of the countertop, I get rain. Okay, in a little section, like maybe 2 feet by 5 feet, there's no overhang. What do I do to keep the rain off the porch? That way I don't have to sweep rain or suck it off with the shop vac off the big porch.
Okay. The porch is 9 feet deep by 20 feet wide.
Yes.
And there is a roof that's over that entire porch?
Right, there's a roof over the entire porch.
Okay. And the okay. countertop reference you're making, there's not a countertop there.
Right. It looks like a brick countertop, but it's not.
The floor of the porch.
No, it's like if you're standing in a restaurant, you lean over the counter, that's the brick part of the counter. So like if you wanted to So part of the counter gets wet by rain. So when it rains, the water comes on top of the countertop, like, and then comes onto the porch.
So there's a countertop on top of the porch.
Right.
Okay. And you're getting the rain, and the countertop is on the outside edge of the porch?
Right. It's on the outside edge of the porch.
All right. And just on one side?
Just on one side where it, like, the overhang doesn't come over to that part.
Right.
But there's an overhang that surrounds the entire porch. So if it rained, you could stand on two sides of the porch and not get wet.
But over there, you do.
Over there, you do. So, you know, when it rains, all that water collects onto the porch because the porch is so big.
And this is the front of the house?
Yes, the front of the house.
And there's no way to, could you extend the side, that portion there, with a, like a canvas awning?
Right. You might be able to do a canvas awning. What about a soffit? Would that help?
Well, soffit would help. I mean, if you could do it, the thing with the canvas is that visually I'm just worried about how it's going to look on the house because it wouldn't be symmetrical. It'd just have it on one side. But if you could extend, if you could have a, like a carpentry contractor, extend a little bit of a soffit or overhang, you know, it wouldn't be, you said it's only about 2 feet, right?
Right, it's two feet, like 5 feet.
They could probably build something that wouldn't, you know, that could actually hang off of the rest of it and not have to put any column on there, because even if it got a snow load, it probably would be okay. But you want somebody to kind of draw something up so you know what it looks like, so you're not like, you know, it doesn't look like it's just stuck on there. But there's
right,
got
I want to look like, right, because see, I want it to look like the other side. The other side, they just extended it from the, you know, back to the front, so it looks like
right.
all of it around except for one little section.
Right, right. Okay, do me a favor. You got a pencil?
Uh-huh.
I want you to call Cobblestone Development.
Okay.
Okay, and their website is cobblestonedevelopment.com. And they do exterior remodeling. They do windows, doors, siding. They do interior kitchens, bathrooms. They actually just did my kitchen, which is fabulous. We love it. And the phone number is 773.
Yep.
661.
Okay.
0606.
Okay, got it.
And their website is renovation-chicago.com. So give them a call, and I think they could probably come up with something like that. They could really figure it out for you. Thanks so much. 312-981-7200. Oh, look at one of my travelers. Michelle D'Amico is on the line. Hello, Michelle.
I just had 12 hours sleep. It feels so good.
You feel so good? Did you wake up at 2 in the... This is Michelle who came on the trip, and you're up and awake?
I'm up and awake, and it is snowing in Crystal Lake.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, we're doing, like, remote weather reports. That's right. That's wonderful. And everybody made it back. Everybody's happy and had a great time.
Oh, my gosh. We had so much fun, and I have to say, so much of that was because of your great sense of humor what a leader you were for this trip. We just had a blast. Plus, it helped that it was 84 degrees and sunny every day.
Yeah, we had perfect weather. That is true. That is true. Well, that's great. That's so nice. It was such a pleasure to meet you and your mom and be part of that trip. So thanks so much for coming. We really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great show.
You got it. Thanks so much. All right. It is 7:44 in the morning. When we come back, it's our Noodaloo 2, which is an awesome tool for gardening. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 7:48 in the morning. Time now for our Noodaloo 2. If you're a gardener and you're working around your yard with a wheelbarrow and you got all this stuff and you can't keep it organized, what do you do? Well, you buy the product we're going to tell you about.
Load up your burritos with this week's Noodaloo 2. Actually, our Noodaloo 2 has nothing to do with burritos or any Mexican food for that matter, but it's called Little Burros, which makes me think of burritos. I know, weird. But hey, I bet you won't forget the name of it when you go out and buy it. Little Burros is a wheelbarrow organizer shelf that clips to your wheelbarrow and carries all your essentials in a single trip. This little guy makes yard work easier to plan and execute. After maker Bob Thorson spent the day going back and forth from the garden to the shed, he came up with the first prototype. It sits atop your barrow, providing slots for everything you'll need to garden, clean up, and spend the day outside. It fits gloves, tools, seeds, even has a designated spot for a 5-gallon bucket. And to keep you connected while hard at work, because let's be honest, who isn't these days, there's a roofed compartment for your phone. Little Burrows isn't supposed to replace your wheelbarrow, but enhance and multiply its functionality, stealing only 2 inches from the standard storage space and adding compartments where they didn't exist before. It's an all-terrain addition made from a UV-resistant material that won't fade in the sun and grips firmly so it stays attached as you tilt and turn. Little Burrows goes for $59.95 on thegrommet.com, and a Lou demo video can be seen right there on his Facebook page. I know, nothing Mexican or spooky attached to this product, but hey, I had to keep with the Halloween theme. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
I think this is a great gift for someone that's a gardener in your life. It is it's a plastic, thing that fits on the top of your wheelbarrow and does help keep things super organized. And then when you put your wheelbarrow away,
you can throw this thing up on a shelf, and it really holds a lot of stuff. Your gloves or a bag of potting soil or different, if you're using peat moss and you've got other stuff in the wheelbarrow. A place for the cell phone, which is cool with the, when you close the door, if you were to spill water. It's not watertight, but the water will bounce off of it and your phone won't get wet. And it's got all these little places where you can put a if you've ever tried to carry rakes and shovels in a wheelbarrow, you know, they bounce around. They've got these clips on the side. You can just clip the stuff on there and zip around your backyard and really do a nice job. I like it.
And
it's cool.
I found it for $50 on Amazon.
Right. It's a great deal. Great holiday gift idea for somebody, some gardener in your life. Just go to WGNradio.com or go to my Facebook page and you'll see more about the product. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is Tom in Plainfield. Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Quick little side note. My daughter just got back from studying for a semester in Spain.
Oh, really? Where was she?
She was up at the University of Oviedo in the northern part of the country.
Very nice. Yeah, we did the part of the group actually went on, and this half of the group is up in Barcelona right now. There was like a little extension, but most of what we did was in the southern part of Spain, rather. It's a beautiful country. Did you get a chance to see her at all?
No, I didn't. My wife went over there for about 14 days. I stayed at home and paid for the trips.
Well, we all have our roles.
Yes. Yes, we do.
How can I help you?
I've had this ongoing problem with my water heater for probably about 6-8 months now, to where no matter where you're at in the house at certain times and nothing is consistent, the hot water will just slow to a trickle and then stop. And you either have to play with both the hot and the cold at different faucets, and you'll hear a pop like an airlock, and then it'll come back on. And when it's gotten so bad, you've actually had to go down and tap on the dielectric knuckle on the input side, or where the cold water is feeding into it. The water tank is only about 10 years old, which, you know, is still fairly new. And I'm kind of at a loss as to why I'm getting these airlocks in the system. There's nothing new that's been added into the plumbing system in the house, so I'm really at a loss.
What about the temperature you have it set at?
About 125.
Okay, and it's just a standard tanked water heater.
Correct. It's a powered vent, but
right.
Yes. 50 gallon.
And you said when you tapped on the dielectric union, is it a dielectric? Is it a valve or just a union?
No, just a union.
Just, and you tap on it.
Yeah, with a hammer. You know, it's on the where the cold water goes into it. So I've had that dielectric off of there, and I don't see. There's a little bit of rust and stuff in there, but I don't see anything to where it would possibly hold the check ball in place to where it won't release or anything.
Right, right. Some of those dielectric unions have a valve in them, right? It's a backflow preventer in case you lose pressure. And that's why I'm wondering if it has a little gate valve inside of it. But as far as you know, looking at it, it's not. It doesn't.
No, but I never knew that, so it's possible that it does. Is there a way to tell by looking at it?
Well, there is sometimes they'll put on the cold water side a dielectric union that has a little gate valve on it. It's kind of a crazy code thing, but if you were to lose pressure, then the hot water wouldn't go back into the system, which makes no sense to me, but that's fine. But if you're hammering on that and then it works, I think that's what's wrong. You need to replace that.
Okay.
The only other thing, but if you said it's never happened before, is sometimes on the hot water side, and the hot water side going out, you'll put an expansion tank in there. But I bet if you're hammering on that thing, that's got a little gate valve in it, and that's what's sticking. And you need to replace that dielectric union gate valve.
Fantastic. I was never aware of that.
Well, give it a shot and see what you can do, and I bet it'll work. I bet it'll work for you. Appreciate the phone call. 7:55 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Don't go away. What do we got? 7:58 in the morning. Connie is on the line. Connie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. This is Connie D'Amico. You'd think this was planned between my daughter and myself, but I had to call to tell all of Chicagoland how wonderful you and your wife were, perfect hosts, and we all loved you. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, you're so nice, Connie. It was so nice to meet you. And
wonderful.
And the whole crowd, it was really, really sweet. And I'm glad you made it back safely, and I'm sure you were up at 2 in the morning wide awake.
Right, right. You're right, I was. Have a wonderful day. Lou, we love you.
Thank you, Connie. It's very nice. I got them all fooled. I got them all fooled.
Funny story. I think I mentioned this to you. My Sadie's teacher,
yeah.
My daughter, my four-year-old preschool teacher.
Right.
She somewhere read that I worked for WGN, and she said, "Who do you work for?" And I said, "Oh, his name is Lou Manfredini." She thought it was the coolest thing, Miss Lazama. And then I saw her the next day, and I said, "Oh," she talked about it again, and I said, "Oh, I told Lou last night." And she said, "Well, what do you mean you told him?" And I said, "Well, I mentioned that the story," and she said,
right.
"You mean you talked to him on the phone?"
All right. Well, I have a funny story. Is that Max? You know, goes to I'm not going to remember the woman's name, but she is the librarian or the assistant librarian at Notre Dame High School, and so she sent a note home with Max that she was having some problems with box elder bugs, and said, "You know, we've tried everything, couldn't have it." So I happened to be at the hardware store, and I picked up a little bottle of. What's the product I picked up for box elder bugs? Come on.
I don't know.
Anybody? Anybody? Bueller?
Give me a hint.
Asian lady beetles.
Asian lady beetles. That's right.
What's the name of the company?
Oh.
Bug Slayer.
Oh.
With two G's. So it's a little concentrated bottle. I said, "Here, give this to the librarian and tell her this will work, right?" And so, and I go, "But tell her, if you're ever late with a book, you don't get charged any fees." And so she tries the product. It totally worked. And she goes, "And I understand my deal is Max isn't going to get a charge of late fees if he brings the book back." She goes, "Deal."
You're listening to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show.
We had a big wind this past week, and my uppermost shutter was hanging horizontally. So I had to get a long pole and heave it down.
He's taking your calls live till 10.
Well, I would have left it there. Halloween is coming up. It could have been a whole look. You could have put some cobwebs off of it.
Wow, look at this freaky house.
Right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back. 8:10 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems and by Fox Home Center. Happy Halloween weekend. Hopefully the weather will cooperate. When I'm in the bear suit, I won't be overheating because I'll be in the bear suit passing out candy. Very fun. Our neighborhood's always full of kids. Should be a lot of fun. And, yeah, it's good. Welcome back to everyone. 312-981-7200. All my Spain travelers that were with us. Some are still in Barcelona, Spain, but many are back. So welcome back. It was a pleasure to be with you, and lots of fun meeting and sharing some meals with you and enjoying the beautiful country of Spain. Let's talk to Carol, who's in Williams Bay. Carol, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Well, I'm looking out my window, and there's 34 big turkeys in my yard.
Is it turkey season?
I guess so. They just live around the neighborhood, and they're all out in the yard.
Really? And
looking
are they
big and fat?
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, this is our vacation house up here in Williams Bay.
Okay.
And we every time we open a wall, we find something weird. It's an older house, and it's been patched together, I think, by do-it-yourselfers that didn't know what they were doing.
Okay.
So we have a boiler with baseboard radiant heat. And when my guy tore out everything, including the cast iron bathtub in the bathroom we're remodeling, he found under the bathtub radiant coils that came up from the crawl space.
Mm-hmm.
They went under the tub and went back down. So our first thought was we should just get rid of them.
No.
The second thought is, can we put the curb of the walk-in shower over top of them?
So that's very common because that tub was on an outside wall, right?
Yes.
Right.
But the coils were at the front, not along the wall.
Correct. But
right.
There's no other radiator in that bathroom.
Correct.
So what that was a very common practice in older homes where we'd put the coil behind the cast iron tub. The coils
right.
would heat up. The cast iron tub would get warm, and that became your heat source in the bathroom.
And you know what's weird is I was completely unaware of this because it's the guest bathroom and I never used the shower
right.
or the tub in there.
Right,
so.
Right. It was a very common practice. Now what, okay. you're gonna put a shower pan in there now?
Yes.
But it's not gonna be cast iron.
No.
Right. And so the problem is if you went with a fiberglass or something like that, you're not going to get the kind of heat transfer that you would get. Is this still going to be a guest bathroom?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we thought at first, never having run into this, because we live in a, not far from you, in a bungalow in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We thought at first we would have to take it out, and we have like a dirt crawl space underneath there. Believe me, it's no fun down there. And then run it up into like maybe put a little heater in the wall.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. If you're going to do a shower pan, you won't get the kind of effect or heat transfer that you want with that. Just because it'll absorb too much heat and it won't let any of it go. So
okay.
What I would do, is this just a small, like 5x7 bath, or how big is the bathroom?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just a small one.
But just a standard, like a tub's at the end and a toilet and a vanity and that's it.
On the side, yes.
Right. Correct. And are you going to put a cabinet in the, a vanity cabinet in there? Or
it's a vanity cabinet, I'm picking it up today, that's up off the ground.
Up
off the floor. It has space under it.
So it has it has legs.
Yes.
So not like a typical cabinet.
No, it has a cabinet at the top part of it, two doors that open, but then it's got a shelf on the bottom.
Here's what I would do. And are you living in this house all the time now?
No.
And what do you do when you leave? You leave it heated in the winter? Like, do you use the home in the winter?
Yes, we do. We have like the nest thing, and we
keep
track of it.
Okay, so here's what I would do in this. I would, based on how you're going to remodel this, I would cap off that piping system, okay, and eliminate it from that bathroom. And then, as far as the heat source goes, they do make, which would be really nice, but it's not going to work for you. Well, wait. What are you going to do on the floor?
Well, we're putting porcelain tiles. I was wondering if we just put a heated floor.
Yep, do that.
Okay.
Perfect, do that. So I was going to have you put an in-wall heater, but I will tell you this. The only problem with putting a heated floor in your guest bath is you're going to wish it was in your master.
I know. We figured this bathroom's going to be so much nicer than the other one we're using this one anyway.
But so since it's not a large bathroom, put an electric, have your contractor. Now, this is very important. I want you to listen very carefully to this.
Okay.
The subfloor has to be sound and tight.
Okay.
The electric mat that you're going to place on the floor gets placed down with thin-set mortar. You have to test the panel before it goes in. You have to test the panel after it gets installed before any tile. And then after the tile goes on, you have to test it again to make sure everything's working. They're very durable, but this way you get the warranty. We have had a heated tile floor in our home, in our master, for 16 years, and it's fabulous.
Okay.
And you will set it up with a thermostat, its own thermostat, in that room, and it will be terrific.
Okay.
And it's not going to cost, and it's just going to be for that room, and so it's not going to really, it's going to add a couple of dollars to your electric bill, nothing that you'll really even notice.
Well, that's what our contractor had suggested. He's done them in his own home,
too. Change all the light bulbs in that house to LEDs, and you'll heat the floor for free.
There you go.
All right.
I was trying to get somebody to come out. Every time I call somebody to come out and look at it, they don't show up. So I have holes now. I can look down, and I keep expecting like a raccoon to be looking up at me
from the crawl space. No, don't do that. Yeah, heat that floor, and I think it'll be great. It's a perfect application for that, and you're going to absolutely love it. Carol, thank you so much for the phone call. 17 past the hour. We'll be right back.
Now back to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Right. My AI
just changed. 8:21 in the morning. Thank God you came.
How many more Della is in Lansing, Illinois. Hi, Della. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
How can I help you?
We have a problem. We have a lot of mold in our 850-square-foot attic. We've had four companies come out to give us a bid on it. We've got four different prices, ranging from $900 to $2,500. They all had different thoughts on how to do it. Some would seal it after. Some don't want to seal it in case it comes back and they have to clean it up, take the seal off to clean it again. And how? What would you suggest to use to remove the mold?
Okay, well, where has anyone has anyone talked to you about where how this mold got up there? Do we have a leak? Do we have fans that are dumping moisture in the attic?
We have an attic fan up in the attic, so the only thing we could think is that maybe our bathroom exhaust fan was letting moisture into the attic. But the addition's been on the house for 15 years. This is the first year we've seen the mold.
Okay.
And we just had a new roof put on. How many years ago?
Is it everywhere, or is it just on the backside of the roof?
It's on the inside of the groin.
I'm sorry, it's on the inside of the what?
Well, it's on the plywood sheeting, and it's... Hang on. It started in one corner, and now it's spreading out.
Okay. So the very first thing we need to do is we need to fix any kind of exhaust fans or anything that are dumping any kind of moisture up in there. That has to be vented directly outside. Has that all been repaired?
Wait, it's vented into the soffit. It always has been.
Okay, but obviously something has changed because that mold, if it's vented to the soffit, is it vented out? In other words, is there an actual point where that hose comes out, or is it just lying on the soffit and trying to get through the vents?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's incorrect. And so that problem there is that with your new tighter roof, that venting has to be fixed first. If we've determined that there's no leak in the roof at all that's causing this mold and mildew, you have to properly vent those exhaust fans out so that they actually cut a hole in the soffit and there's a cover so that when you turn that fan on, any moisture that's leading out there goes all the way outside. And that would be like an HVAC contractor that would do something like that to properly vent it. Now, as far as the mold goes, there's two ways to do this. You can use a mold remediation company to just kill the mold. I don't need to seal anything. I just need to kill it with the proper products. Now, we have some do-it-yourself products that you can buy. One of them, as you've heard me talk about, is this Fog U mold. I mean, does anybody in the home have the ability to go up and do any work up there or no?
Well, he can get up there, but it's a really low roof. It's not much room to move in there.
Okay, well, then you probably are better off having somebody come up there and get some. When you're talking to these different contractors, the fact that you've gotten different bids, I'm not interested in sealing anything, but I'm not interested in also just cleaning it without finding what the underlying problem is. So has anybody identified with you that says, Della, this is why you're getting this mold? Has anybody said that?
No.
Okay. Well, we need to find that out first. So do me a favor. Hang on a second. I'm going to give you one more person to call that might be able to help you with that problem as well. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back.
And now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:28 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Melanie in South Holland. Hi, Melanie. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. God, I've been thinking about you all week.
Really?
Yeah.
What have you been thinking?
I've just been thinking I got to talk to the man.
How can I help you?
Well, I'm living in my father's home, and he was a finishing carpenter, so, you know, he's a very talented man, but he's just suddenly deceased. And have recently had all the gutters cleaned out of the house, and I'm not attributing this problem to that, although it was kind of a coincidental thing. But I only had one stress fracture in the entire house in the kitchen, and that's been there for years in the ceiling. Suddenly, I have stress fractures in, like, a lot of them, vertical ones, and on the wall and on the ceilings. Not in all the rooms, but and it's driving me crazy because I was so proud. This house is 50 years old, and only have the one was it showed my father's dedication to having this house built.
Right. Now, so, are you seeing what's the exterior of the house, Melanie? Is it brick? Is it sided? What is it?
It's seeping mortar halfway, and then cedar upstairs.
Okay, and you don't. And when have you looked around the exterior of the home? Do you see any cracking out there at all?
Well, I have. That is one thing that I have not done. You know, like I can't believe a sudden foundation problem.
Well, but here's the thing: it isn't necessarily a foundation problem, as it is a soil problem. And with dryness, excessive dryness, that, you know, we had a few. You know, well, I mean, and this has probably been going on longer than you think. But, you know, we had a really dry bout even a year ago, and that's problematic as the soil starts to shrink, and then we get rain, and it expands, and it can actually lift and move a home. The reason I say this is I would spend some time in the exterior of the home and take a look and see, in particular down low and where the walls meet the top of the foundation, if you see any cracking there.
Yeah.
And you see any separation, maybe some doors aren't opening or closing properly, or windows are a little tighter than they used to be, it could be some movement in the foundation. And if that's go ahead.
Well, the other thing is, too, a sudden decay of all the windows upstairs. And I mean decay. I don't know if it's the roof that, you know, I mean, it is time for a new roof on the place, but the decay on the upstairs windows is just horrible.
All right. Well, let's do this then. Two things that I want you to do. From the roof and the windows, I want you to contact Rogers Roofing. They're down on the south side, and they do roofing and soffit and siding and windows. And they can come out and give you an honest assessment of what's going on. On the foundation side, I want you to call PermaSeal, and they will give you a free evaluation to find out if anything's happening as it pertains to the foundation. And they will do that for free and kind of assess the whole thing. And you can contact them at permaseal.net or 800-421-SEAL. And those would be two people to help you kind of assess what's going on and help you make an informed decision on how to proceed. Thanks so much for the phone call. All right, coming up right after news, we're going to talk about a terrific new product line. It's been around for a little bit, but a company that makes these really cool-looking peel-and-stick tiles. In particular, if you want to spice up your backsplash, you've never seen stuff like this. But first...
Got a problem around your house? Call Lou. He's taking your calls till 10 right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Don't want to wait till the sun's sinking. We could be feeling all right. I know you know what I'm thinking. Why don't we do a little day drinking?
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini here with you, 840 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Before you get back to your phone calls, I'm going to talk to you about a cool product line that you may want to be interested in. Well, you will be interested in, especially if you want to kind of update and have a new look, in particular on your backsplash, and something that's really easy to do that you don't necessarily have to hire a contractor to do. It's a company called ACP, Aspect Metal, Stone and Glass. Josh Mock is the sales director, and he's actually in our studio this morning. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you. You were mentioning as you came in that you grew up in Central Illinois.
Yes.
And you said, I grew up listening to you guys. And I said, you can say that to me, but not to Lindsay, because you didn't grow up listening to her. But that's very nice of you. And your company is located where?
So we're up in Neenah, Wisconsin.
And tell the folks what it is your company does.
So we're really a DIY solutions-based company. We have a lot of different products for walls, ceilings, and now floors here in the near future. And a lot of it is to give a contractor look, but the ease and the pride in doing it DIY.
All right. Contractor look means what? Describe some of your products and what it is they can do.
Perfect. So one of our newer products is Aspect Peel and Stick Stone, as you mentioned. And so what this is, it's a peel and stick product. It's 1 square foot pieces with real live raw stone on the front. But at the same time, you don't have to have grout and mastic. You don't have to have someone in your house doing it. It's something you can do on your own.
Now, there's certainly, you know, we talk about stone tiles or glass tiles that are out there that, you know, even we've got sponsors that sell that stuff. And is the material a little bit thinner than even that, or is it around the same size?
So for stone, for example, it's about 1/8 of an inch thick.
Okay.
Some of our yellow and red sandstone is a little bit quicker, a little bit thicker at 3/16.
Okay.
But glass, you know, you're looking at about 3/16 there. Again, some of our metal peel and stick is about 3/16.
So it is similar in size and texture of what the traditionally applied product would be, but you've done some backing.
Very much so. So we have an aggressive adhesive on the back to make sure it sticks against smooth, clean drywall.
Okay.
And we don't have to have that extra element of equipment of dealing with the grout on the backside as well.
All right. Now, I'm thinking about peel and stick and how you got to get it just right. Or, you know, with grout, obviously, when you put a 1 foot, it comes in a 1 foot square. Is that how you sell it? So, you know, I get a little bit of time to kind of massage it and move it around. Do I have any of that when I use your product, or is it, oop, it's on sideways?
So we have two different ways to actually install the product itself. The true adhesive is pretty aggressive, so mm-hmm. we want to make sure that we're lined up and square at all times. Use
right.
a chalk line to make sure that we're lined up. The other way to do it is actually we have a couple different adhesives that we use and we recommend. So you put some daubs in the back of the actual product to allow for that wiggle room, just like you mentioned.
Okay, same product, or is it a different type of product, meaning that... if I really like this peel and stick, does it come in both versions?
It comes with just the adhesion on the back itself.
Yeah.
We do work with Loctite to actually put their product on the back and
their
quality control involved.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so you have this backsplash product. What I saw is you have some that is vinyl, don't you? That kind of mimics the look of steel. And I mean, that really was intriguing to me.
Yeah, so our facade line of backsplashes,
right.
What it is, it's PVC, it's a thermo heat stamps on there, so it mimics the look of the tin ceilings. We have it in 2x2s for ceilings, we have it in 4x8s for wall panels, as well as 18x24s for backsplashes.
And that's also a self-adhesive?
That one actually has no backer on it whatsoever. That's where we have worked with companies like Loctite to put their
got
adhesive
it.
On the back.
But I mean, I remember when we first got the information about you guys and started looking at your website, some of this stuff is just absolutely beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. Now, is this something that people buy in stores, or do you sell it via a website or both?
It's a little bit of everything. So we'd really diversify how people want to shop for our products to mm-hmm. make sure that their customer satisfaction is there. So we have it in brick-and-mortar retailers. We have it on the affiliate sites, and then we also have our own online presence.
Got it. And give me a range, if you could. I mean, I'm sure pricing changes depending on the vendor that you go to, right? I would guess that maybe your site is a little bit more pricey because you don't want to compete with your competitors or, you know, your dealers. But what are we talking about for this kind of stuff? Where does it start and where does it go to?
Yeah, so some of our products, the peel and stick stuff, for example, I mean, we can look at, you know, $10 to $12 up to $15 a square foot.
Mm-hmm.
So pricing-wise, you know, we're not having to pay for the contractor. We're not having to pay for the equipment or the other additional supplies that we'd have. So it's just the product, and it's just as simple as, you know, peel, stick, and enjoy.
Right. On that PVC product, what I think I saw when I was looking at some of the videos, you literally can cut it with a good pair of scissors.
Yeah.
In some of the styles, correct?
So the PVC, we can use scissors, we can use an X-Acto knife, anything of that nature.
Right.
Something very simple.
So if you're even just someone that likes to do a little arts and crafts, you don't necessarily need to have all this experience doing tile or whatever, and it's that simple to install.
It is. And we find that we have a lot of people that use it just for simple little arts and crafts, you know, because it's such a versatile product.
Hmm. And you mentioned just that you're coming out with some flooring as well. Is that a new product line or you already have it?
It's something that's down the road, but right now we're in ceilings industry. We're on the walls, and it's something that we're always looking for.
Now we got to get to the floor. It's interesting that you say you're in Neenah. How long have you been in Wisconsin, this company?
We've been up there for 23 years. All
time. Wow. I have noticed of late, and I don't know, maybe this is a thing for our politicians to notice, but there's a lot of manufacturing and businesses that are opening and doing business in the state of Wisconsin.
Agreed.
that are in this realm of whatever. Lindsay and I were just talking about there's a company in that makes the modular homes out of the shipping containers. Where in Wisconsin was that? Do we remember? They're in Wisconsin. Not Appleton, but it's up that way. A company called Mod. And, I mean, it was just an interesting thing that we're actually going to talk to them on the air, but you can buy the house on Amazon.
How about that?
Which is crazy. But, yeah, there seems to be a lot of businesses. It is Appleton? Oh, all right. So, but anyway, it's interesting to hear about this. Okay, give the website where people can learn more about your product lines.
So our peel and stick is aspectideas.com.
All right, aspectideas.com. That's the peel and stick. And, and is the other product lines, like the ceilings and that kind of stuff, on there as well?
So our ceilings, is we can go to anything for acoustic ceiling products. Is actually the name of the company, the acronym for ACP. The facade line that you're referencing was facadeideas.com.
Got it. Got it. All right. Well, Josh Mock is a sales director over at ACP.com. What is APC? Why do I think of that? I'm thinking of the ASPC, right, for the animals. That's not it. AARP. No, I'm not thinking about AARP. You're fired. You're so fired. Remember, today would be the last day that Lindsay works here. ACP Ideas, acpideas.com. Josh, thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate it. It is 8:48 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. I love this show.
Hey, baby.
I love you all.
I ain't asking what you...
My thanks to Josh Mock, sales director over at ACP Ideas, coming in this morning. Their website is acpideas.com if you'd like to view their product line. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Andy is in Blue Island. Andy, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Well, I have a 100-plus-year-old Chicago bungalow with a brick basement, brick walls in the basement foundation. But I also have tiles down in half of the basement. And I'm pretty sure they probably have asbestos. Rather than try and remove it, I was just wondering if I could use that new laminate floor tile and put it over it.
Okay, so if it does have asbestos, first of all, the thing to know when it comes to asbestos, you can't just look at stuff or just assume. I mean, I shouldn't say you can just assume. Yeah, obviously, if it was before 1978, there's a good chance it's there. But a lot of times people say, oh, yeah, that's asbestos. Unless you get it tested, you don't know. But if you encapsulate, which is essentially what you're talking about, if you were to use one of these loose lay vinyl floors over the top of it, now you eliminate the dust or anything that's coming up from that. And undisturbed, as long as the flooring is sound, you'll be fine. Now, here's the thing. The floor is, it's, where is the floor exactly?
It's in two rooms of the basement.
Okay. So I'm not a huge fan, never have been, of putting a new finished floor over an old finished floor.
Yeah, I know. I've heard you say that many times, and I agree.
However, the beauty of the loose lay stuff is, if all of a sudden, because now, okay, you're going to put this new floor over the top, it isn't necessarily going to trap moisture, but it can become a little more damp or humid, whatever it may be, and maybe a couple tiles pop up. And now you go walking over in one area and you hear it kind of go crunch, crunch, crunch. Well, the nice thing about the loose lay is you can, Andy, you can just pull a couple pieces up. You can take the loose tile in there, re-put it down there, and put it right back down. And you don't. It's almost like segmental paving when you if you did a paver patio outside.
Okay.
So I'm completely on board with a loose lay over something like this, encapsulated, safe. Do you have any grandkids?
No.
All right. You want any? Because I can have some sent over from somebody. Somebody, I'm sure.
They could do the work.
All right. Well, if we could get them to lay the floor, then we'd be good to go. But if you could do this over the top, you'll be fine.
That's terrific. Can I have one more question?
Sure.
I have a brick basement, and it does a lot of powdering. And I'm thinking I need to do, like, tuck pointing in there. Is that...
Is the mortar... Well, the efflorescence that's coming off... Is the brick that you see, is the mortar loose? Like, can you go at it with a screwdriver and get it loose?
It's powdery.
It's powdery. Yeah, I mean, if it's powdery or to the sense where you could take a little screwdriver and kind of dig it out, then it probably needs to be tuck pointed and then acid washed.
Oh, tuck pointed first and then acid washed?
Well, I mean, they may do it the other way. It doesn't matter, but... Probably they're going to grind out a little bit of what's there, re-tuck point it, and then wash everything down.
Got it.
Okay.
I appreciate all your help.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and this is Richard. Hi, Richard. You're on WGN. Yeah. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Lou. We had a cast iron tub resurfaced about maybe 15 years ago, and since that time we've used a bath chair in there, you know, that kind of comes up and down. Well, it chips out a little area in the tender spot, and it's not getting any bigger, but we were trying to figure out what to do to fill in that little area. It's about maybe 3 or 4 inch square.
Got it.
And whether we can do it ourselves or it has to be done by some professional.
If you go to the hardware store in there, probably in the section where they sell the caulking and the wall patch area of the hardware store, they're going to sell a little... What color is the tub?
It's white.
Perfect. They sell a little porcelain touch-up kit, which essentially is like nail polish for your bathtub.
Uh-huh.
And there's a little bitty brush in there. I want you to take a little sanding sponge, if you can, and just in that area where it's, you know, it's come off, I want you to just kind of gently rough up the surface a little bit. Just to kind of blend it all in, then take a damp rag and just wipe it away so you get rid of any of the dust that you created. Then take this this porcelain paint and put a thin layer kind of gently around the area and just put one layer, let that dry, put a second coat on there, and if you can still see it after that dries, put a third coat on there. It's not going to be perfect, Richard, but it's going to look a lot better than what you have. And then the other thing with this chair, are you still using that chair?
No, we're not using it now.
Okay, so then when you do all that, it's going to look a heck of a lot better than you have right now.
Oh, great. Great.
All right,
appreciate
sir.
It.
You got to have a great day. I appreciate you calling this morning and being part of the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. This is Ellie in Skokie. Ellie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I've got a lot of questions. Eventually, we're going to sell the house. Not while my husband is still here, because he'll stay here forever. He won't empty out the basement.
With Lou Manfredini.
But I'm planning ahead.
Wait, are you listening to what you just said?
On Chicago's very own.
Right. Okay. I mean, in the world.
720 WGN. She can
say her voice. 9:11 in the morning, this hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by Ace Hardware. Thanks for listening this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's also our text line this morning, so we'll do our Just Text Me segment coming up after 9:30 this morning. Let's go back to the phone lines, and here's Jen in McHenry. Jen, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
Hi there.
I have a question for you. I'm kind of frustrated. We have solar path lights, and they are a year old, and the tops have gotten all cloudy.
Yep.
So what do I do? Because I tried vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
I tried CLR.
Mm-hmm.
I actually tried spitting on them. Because I was frustrated.
Yeah.
Nothing has worked, and I'm really mad because they're not cheap. I went you know, and got ones that were brighter. So I don't want to throw them away.
So the whole idea, and this is an inherent problem with most of those, even though you say they're not cheap, they don't, all the solar, the lenses over the top of them are all plastic, and it's a cost thing. And really, no matter what you buy, I mean, I suppose there's probably some higher-end ones you could buy at a landscape supplier that might be glass, but that's the problem you're getting. If you go to the hardware store or the auto parts store, they will sell you a compound that is designed to take the haze off of the front of a car headlight.
Yeah, I've seen that stuff advertised.
Yeah, that will work.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think of how that comes in a bottle. So I think that you'll be able to save it, you know, and use it down the line. But it should take the haze off of it, and then they'll be able to solar array. The solar rays will come through, be able to charge the batteries, and then they'll work for you.
Okay. Now, one of them I got very aggressive with, and I think I probably scratched the top of it. Is it going to still work?
Well, scratching, it's not a big deal. Just get rid of the haze.
Okay.
The thing is, it's just reducing the amount of light that it can use to charge the batteries.
Yeah, it's just dull. They're just little tiny flickers now.
Right. Give that a try, and it should work.
Okay, thanks. Hi, Mom and Dad. They're listening.
What are their names?
Bonnie and Steve Rankins.
All right. Hi, Mom and Dad.
She's been converted. She told my father-in-law he needed to turn his radio off because that stuff drove her crazy, and he now has converted her. She doesn't think it drives her crazy anymore.
Oh, that's so nice. Oh, you can call anytime. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Lou.
Appreciate you calling this morning. Let's talk to Dan, who's in Tinley Park. Dan, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, morning, Lou. I got a problem with my garage. I have a 2.5-car garage attached to the house. The garage is 18 feet wide, and I got 2 feet of brick above the garage. And so I have cracks that are zigzag going in between the mortar on both corners of the garage, and then one left to center. So I'm trying to figure out, did they use too small of a lintel on that garage, you know, above the door? I'm not really sure what to do.
Okay, so the cracks are above the garage door.
Yeah, they're in the brick.
Right, and is it a 16-foot wide door? Two car?
No, it's 18 foot wide. Yeah.
Well,
I just measured that.
Yeah, so that is actually probably not a. It should be a beam with that kind of.
A beam
and or a C channel with a plate welded to the bottom of it. When the door is closed, what do you see on the inside? Brick?
No, there's a whatever it is, like 2.5 foot wide of that wood, that laminated wood together.
Oh, it's a,
the door.
Oh, so how old is the house?
So the house is 2003.
So they used a micro lam to span it, like a double micro lam.
Right.
And more than likely, then they bolted an angle iron to the front of that micro lam beam. Like when the door is open or even closed, when you look up under the brick, do you see a piece of angle iron?
Yeah, so on the outside, you can see the iron on the outside of it.
Yeah, okay. And then that 4 feet of brick that you see, it doesn't go all the way up to a gable, does it?
It goes up to the soffit.
Okay, so, and on the outside, you have 4 feet going up.
No, it's actually 2 feet of brick.
2 feet, and it's cracked. Okay, so had I built your home, I wouldn't have used a micro lam. Because even though it's super strong and super stiff, it should have been, in my opinion, a steel beam, which is way more rigid. But they did that because it costs less, and you just get the carpenters to do it, and then you don't have to have a steel guy set it all. So the problem you're having is that wood is expanding and contracting differently than the brick. And there's only 2 feet of brick, so there's not much there. So the fact that what I would do is, if everything looks sound, like nothing's poking out or anything like that.
Yeah, I put a level on it. Everything is square.
It's plumb and square.
Anything sagging.
So you just need to get a tuck point.
So the crack is expanding on the one side,
And you think that I would be okay just by tuck pointing it? I mean, is the crack going to keep growing or is it going to stop?
I mean, now there is a possibility. The fact that it's a, if it's brick on this facade, then you should have a fountain, and it's an attached garage. You have a foundation underneath there.
Yes.
Now, if you can if you look at that crack and it kind of goes along the horizontal and goes to where the side of the garage is, the exterior side of the garage, not the part that's extended to the house,
mm-hmm.
it could be that your foundation is sinking. You know, like if you could imagine when you look at that crack, man, if I could just grab this corner and lift it up a little bit and go, then the crack would go away.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it looks?
So I looked on the foundation because my cars are in and everything, and it's level, it's square. It's not like it's sinking down. I'll stand back from, you know, the street side and look at it, and I don't see it, you know, anything out of square or anything.
So my question is this, though. If you were standing in the front of this house and how those cracks look right now, if you were Andre the Giant and you could grab that corner and just kind of lift it up, would the crack go away?
I'd probably say yeah. It seems like I just push it up or push it together.
Exactly, right.
Everything would be okay.
So it could be that you're getting in that corner, you're getting a little bit of sinking, and it doesn't take much. Remember, it just needs to go a quarter inch down over there to crack mm-hmm. up top, and you wouldn't see it, and you may not even pick it up on a level or anything like that, just because the rest of it could have sunk as well. Now, if that's the case, you could get somebody like a PermaSeal to come out and put a push pier in right there, right in that corner, and jack it up and be done. You still have to tuck point it, but here's what I would do.
What's a push pier? They would push the garage up the
right.
floor?
They would dig a hole, and they would drive a push pier until they got to bedrock, and on the bottom of the footing of that corner where they dug the hole, they would mm-hmm. latch this clamp, kind of looks like another giant angle iron that they would bolt to the bottom of the footing, and then under pressure, now that they've gotten down to the bedrock, and depending where do you live, Tinley Park? I mean, I don't know. They might go down 60 feet, okay? But once they hit the bedrock where it's not going anymore, then they take hydraulics and they just go, and they kind of lift it up, just like you're the giant grabbing the corner, and they get it to where it needs to go. The cracks come together. It's never going to move again.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I would do. I would tuck point it. And a year from now, if it cracks again, call PermaSeal.
Okay, tuck point and then call PermaSeal if it cracks.
Again.
Is there anything to do with, say, like rebuilding that brick above the garage door? Because even though they have that, I don't know what you're calling that, laminated wood across there.
The microlam?
With the microlam. Would they be able just to rebuild it and put like a thicker piece of steel across there?
Sure, but you'd have to take it all down. All that brick would have to come down. The soffit that's there and or the roof would have to be temporarily supported. Then a new beam or whatever they were going to do would have to go across there. The garage door would have to come down. That's way more expensive than getting a push pier and jacking that corner back up.
Mm-hmm.
I promise.
So, how would I know which it is?
Well, that's why that's why I'm going to have you tuck point it. Now, you could just have a little settling and that's it. You could tuck point mm-hmm. that thing, and then 2 years from now it still didn't crack, you're good to go. Houses move. I mean, that's the reality. I don't care what age the house is. They're moving constantly. And so a little bit of cracking here, because you don't have enough of a wall and it's just this little swath, you're going to see that movement more readily than you would if on the whole side of the house that's brick. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's more things to shift and move where, you know, a 32nd of an inch here and a 16th of an inch there, it picks it up, and there isn't that giant crack. But when you only have 2 feet and it's all in front of a microlam beam, a little bit of movement, there's nothing to keep it together. There's no weight on the top. Mm-hmm. There's hardly any weight on the bottom. And so my point is, you tuck point it now, since you look at it and you're like, well, it looks fine to me. The bricks aren't falling out. I'm going to tuck point it, make it look nice. I'm going to monitor it. I'm going to take a look at it in the spring again and say, look at that, it cracked again. It got bigger after I tuck pointed it. If it cracked again, that means that corner's going down. You call them out, they pump the thing up, and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does something like that run?
$500,000-$600,000. No, I don't know. It's right. I mean, it all depends. You got to get an estimate, but I mean, it's thousands. It's, you know, it could be $2,000-$3,000 to do something like that. If it's as simple as one push pier, that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I would give that some thought, do the process I talked about, and then see what happens in a year. 9:22 in the morning. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN.
Scene one, Apple, take one.
Buenos días. Soy Carlos Rozas desde Madrid, España, y están escuchando a Lou Manfredi en la...
Scene one, Apple, take two.
Manfredini, 3, 2, 1.
A Lou Manfredi en la WGN 720.
Uno más en español.
A Lou Manfredini en la 720 WGN.
Beautiful.
Oh, I guess there's no Spanish music. I knew there was music. That was our tour guide in Spain, which is pretty funny. We recorded that on the bus as we were driving and then sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game as a group. It was pretty funny. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Marcia, who's in Whitehall, Michigan. Where's that, Marcia?
Hi, Muskegon County.
Oh.
We get you loud and clear. Ooh. And Lou, you do a fabulous job.
Oh, thank you.
We are leaving for the winter. What should we set our thermostat for on the furnace?
55 degrees. And is anybody going to watch the house?
Yes, we have someone coming in to check on things
and
periodically, yes.
Do you have neighbors that you like?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I want
great
you
to... people in Whitehall.
What's that?
We have great people in Whitehall.
Oh, of course you do. Well, there's a product you're going to buy at the local Ace. If they don't have it, they can order it called Winter Guard by Honeywell.
All right.
By Honeywell. And it has a little thermostat on. You're going to plug it into the wall in your front window that faces... Who's the neighbor across the street? What's his name?
Is this one of those blinking things?
Well, sort of.
Okay, we've got one of those. Will that work?
Well, this is when it temperature goes below 40 degrees, it turns mm-hmm. the light on.
Mm-hmm.
So you put a lamp in the front window. You tell your neighbor across the street, what's their name?
Got it. Dake.
Jake?
Dake. D.
D. Dake. Hey, Dake, if you see that light go on, if that front light in the front window's on, my furnace isn't working. Can you call somebody?
Well, we've done that with a blinking light. Same idea.
Same idea.
Flashes to get attention.
I mean, and the other thing is how do you heat your home? Is it forced air or is it hot water heat?
Yes, forced air.
And have you ever thought about one of these? Do you have internet service at the house?
Well, we turn it off.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then you want one of these winter guards. $25 at the hardware store. Put the heat at 55 degrees and then, you know, you don't have to do anything else. Don't turn. You can turn the water off at the main if you want. Just in case.
We do that because it's in a well.
Yeah, yes. It's a well. So shut the switch off as well, not just the valve, but the pump too.
Okay,
so,
got it.
And that's it. And then go and have a lovely time on your vacation or your wintering months, as it per se. Am I taking a break before we go to news? Yes, we will. A little one? Quick little one like this.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
I don't have to talk. Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
It is time for Just Text Me. And by the way, mark your calendars for Saturday, December 2nd to see John Williams live on stage at the Elgin Community College with two shows with two of America's most fascinating and influential characters. At 10 a.m., it's a conversation with the author of the Declaration of Independence and the third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson. Hear what a founding father would say about America today. Then at 1 p.m., John converses with the explorer Meredith Lewis. Capture the pioneering spirit of what it was like to venture into the uncharted territory of the American West in the 1800s. If this is your first time at one of these shows, you're in for an engaging experience. Program begins with a conversation between John Williams and Thomas Jefferson, or John Williams and Meredith Lewis.
Then the audience is invited to ask questions during the second half of the show. Tickets are just $31 and are on sale now. You can buy online at WGNradio.com/events or call the Blizzard Theater box office at 847-622-0300. That's 847-622-0300. Mondays through Thursdays, noon to 6 p.m. and Saturdays, noon to 5 p.m. Again, Thomas Jefferson at 10 a.m. and Meredith Lewis at 1 p.m. Sponsored by American Sale. Visit one of their 9 Chicagoland locations or americansale.com. Time for our Just Text Me segment. Lindsay's got some text messages that we've received this morning.
I do. Indeed. All right, let's see. The first, I have a cedar chest from the 40s and the top is very dry. Is there any good furniture cream I can use?
Yes. The people at Howard's Restore Finish make an orange oil cleaner slash treatment that you can place on top of it, and it should help to kind of moisturize that wood and make it look a lot better. So I would use that.
Awesome. Next, I'm living in a homeowners association. Replacing or topping off river rock is not an option. Any ideas for cleaning it without killing the shrubs, plants, etc.?
Replacing
or topping off river rock.
River rock. But where's the river rock? Keep going.
Well, that's not an option. Any ideas for cleaning it without killing the shrubs, plants, etc.?
So you need to dampen everything around there. And then I don't know how much of an area we're talking about, but the product Concrobium Mold Stain Eraser, it's powder that you can mix in a bucket, and you use the whole bottle for about a gallon of hot water. And then depending on where it's at, if you wet everything down first, then take a sponge in the bucket, wear some leather gloves, and sponge it all down and just let it eat away and clean it all up. It'll look amazing in like 2 hours, and then rinse it away.
Nice. I never know how to respond.
I think I would just say okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it sounds a little insincere, like awesome.
Because I'm really
nice.
Looking for the next question.
Exactly, right. So just say okay.
Lou, this is a cool one. I am in a small town outside of Zurich, Switzerland. Listening to you on the internet. Thanks for keeping me in touch with Chicago. Oh, he doesn't even have a question. But hi.
Well, what's his name? He didn't say?
He doesn't say.
Well, thank you for listening in Zurich, Switzerland.
Cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I would love to be there and share some Swiss chocolates with you.
His name is Wally.
Wally. Thanks, Wally. Salute. Salute.
Okay. 815, best product to clean indoor fireplace brick.
Well, you got a couple ways to go with this. You could use, depending on what's there, if it's like a soot or material like that, you could use Goo Gone and a nylon brush on the material, and it would really kind of break everything apart. You could use a little CLR and warm water. That could work as well. Just make sure that on either one that you put some type of drop cloth around the area so you protect it, and wear some eye protection, because as you use that with a brush, you're going to kind of flick stuff around. So make sure you cover the areas well enough that that you don't get anything on places you don't want it to be.
Okay. Nah, I can't do this.
Okay is good.
I know. Okay. Oh, what is the best? This is our last question. What is the best product to clean marble on my marble sink?
There's a company called Lundmark that makes a terrific marble cleaner and polish that is a two-part system. And if you go to a good hardware store, they should carry it, and it really works well. Try that and use it accordingly. That's our Just Text Me segment this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Gary's in Westmont. Gary, you're on WGN. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Question. During the summertime, you said when you have a two-story house, two thermostats, you set the thermostat upstairs 2 degrees higher. And if you hit a certain degrees, 85 degrees, you put just the fan on. Now, since cold or heat rises, do you just turn that around and put the downstairs 2 degrees higher?
I don't remember that. I don't remember that tip. So wait, you have a home with two thermostats?
On two-story.
Okay, and where is the thermostat on the second floor?
Right, almost close to the stairs going up.
Yeah, so see, the problem with that is that thermostat being so close to the staircase in the winter, well, two things. In the wintertime, really it's more affected by the heat change because all that warm air is coming up from downstairs, and so you may notice that the second floor is still a little cold because that hallway is getting that heat. And so you're not probably going to set the temperatures at the same amount, meaning that whatever, if you set the first floor at 72, you may actually set that second floor up a little higher. It's really, Gary, based on your comfort level. If it were me with that hallway in a perfect world, I would have put that thermostat at the other end of that hallway because I think then you would get more consistent temperature. But the fact that it's there, I mean, you can always relocate it depending on where I'm sure the wires come up from the bottom, but you'd get more consistent temperature if it was further away from that staircase. So there's no, I don't know that I ever gave that advice because it doesn't sound like it's something I would have said because it really all depends on the overall temperature. I have the same issue in my home where we have two thermostats and they're not set at the same temperature. So it's really a comfort thing for you. And
in the wintertime then.
Correct.
In the summertime, you set them 2 degrees different.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, that's a comfort thing too because in the summertime, that second floor, even that hallway, is a lot hotter, and any cold air that it creates with the AC is going to just run down that staircase as well. But as it's pumping through there, I think that you'll find that those are probably closer in temperature just because of the physics that's involved and the location of the thermostat. But set it to what you're comfortable at, and remember that for every degree you change it, up or down, depending on the season, it's estimated that it can lower your energy cost by like 3% for every 1 degree. So that does make a difference. Thanks for the phone call. This is Robert in Vernon Hills. Robert, you're on WGN. Good morning. Hello, Robert.
Hold on 1 second for me, Lou.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, I was trying to help my father-in-law out with a new tablet.
No problem.
Okay. Let me see. All right. I mean, one more second here.
No worries. Show's over at 10. You're fine.
There we go. We're all done. Okay. Too many things going on at once.
I understand.
Basically, I have an older home, and I have metal weather stripping around the doors.
Okay. And old copper weather stripping?
Yes. So I'm thinking it's overdue. I was doing other work. I was able to see the light through yonder window, or through yonder door.
Right.
So I figured it was time to replace that weather stripping. Do you have any suggestions on what I should replace it with, or should I just go ahead and get same old stuff and replace it, or what's your thought?
Well, I mean, that copper weather stripping still exists. You know, it has a series of nails that you would place it in there. It's mm-hmm. it's a pretty tried and true method. But I will say these are exterior doors, right?
Yeah.
That we're trying to insulate, and mm-hmm. you can buy. There's a line of door weather stripping by, it's called Cinch, C-I-N-C-H, and it's by Mecklenburg Duncan. It's an aluminum three-piece weather stripping that when the door is closed, it has a little bit, it has a little rubber gasket on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even have screws. It has 3M double-sided tape that you mm-hmm. will tape to the jamb of the door. So you close the door, lock the door. And then you place these three pieces right up against the door, and you kind of angle it, and then you just push back so that it sticks to the jamb of the door. It's really effective, and you'll find that taking off that old copper weather stripping is a huge pain in the rear end.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring.
Right, and then putting the new stuff on there, getting it all in and not bending it when you're hammering it is difficult as well. If it were me, I would do the Cinch. You'll find it at your local Ace. It comes in white, comes in brown, and it's really, really easy to install. Thanks so much for the phone call. We'll be right back.
So long, farewell, our leaders say adieu. Adieu, adieu, to you and you and you.
Thank you so much for listening. Our last call is sponsored by Townstone Financial. Thanks, Domati, for doing the news. Sam on sports. Ferguson for pushing all the buttons. And Lindsay, of course, for producing and doing a great job. This is Gary in Westmont. Oh, no, Gary, oh, I'm sorry. Hold on one second. This is Florence in Valparaiso. Hi, Florence. You're on WGN.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question where I have a wallpaper in the kitchen, and it's coming apart at the seams. And I wondered if there's anything, solution or that you can put on there to kind of seal it back and kind of restore it. I don't want to make any other changes. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to have.
You can find at the hardware store a little wallpaper glue that comes in almost like a cake decorating tube. And you just want to take a little putty knife, like a little plastic putty knife, and get underneath where it's separated and clean mm-hmm. it all out. Maybe even take a vacuum cleaner if you want to just clean it with the brush. And then you mm-hmm. squeeze a little bit of this like cake decorating tube under the wallpaper. And then you push it back over the top and a little bit will squeeze out. Use a damp rag to wipe off the excess. And it's going to stick and won't be any changes, and it should hold it right in place. Thanks so much for the phone call.